Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com. Charlie Marlowe filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Doug Vaughn and Jimmy the Cat Hayes. We have the mini exit poll coming up, brought to you by Lakeside Roofing, 940 Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. Text of the day, two tickets to the Ambush home opener on Saturday, and the email of the day, two tickets to Blues versus Predators on Saturday night, courtesy of generous executive Dan O'Neill. Good show so far, guys, I think. Dave Peacock interview, well done.
I was glad to find out that dogs will not be the name of the new MLS mascot. Should it happen?
He didn't dismiss it completely. He took that as like, we're going to play like dogs. That's not how I meant it.
Well, I think he
Everybody
said the name
dogs.
Would reflect that.
Like a rabid
name.
Dog.
It doesn't. When you think of your dog, do you think, oh, geez, we're awful?
No, but if you say you played like a dog, but if you put something like the Devil Dogs or the Bulldogs, then it has a different connotation.
Oh, we got the speed of a greyhound. Look, we got the tenacity of a terrier. We got
that's
the loyalty
a terrier,
of
a collie. That's my point. I'm pro-dog, and I'm not disparaging the dog community proper because I love dogs. But if you just say they're the St. Louis Dogs, it's easy to say they play like dogs. Put a bull on the front. Then you got a bulldog. Then you got
bulldog.
A winner.
Well, I just think the University of Georgia Hot might sue us.
Either way, it was a good idea. We're having some people texting in their thoughts as well. Somebody in the text line said St. Louis Stepdads.
Oh, no. Come on.
Text of the day, I think.
I think that should be text of the day.
I think if we go Clydesdales, we could teach one of the horses to kick backward, you know, a back kick on the big giant soccer ball on the sidelines. Have the horse kicking that soccer ball. Oh, I think it was
a little late, but yes, thank you. Text of the day. That goes to the person that texted in the Stepdads, and I may be able to find that. But it's hard to go backwards.
And you're fine with stepdads, but not with dogs.
Well, Doug, the St. Louis Dogs.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Just that?
Oh, I think that's
because you say
snappy.
Terrier.
I think that's sporty.
Oh, the sporting
okay, how
dog.
About, how about the St. Louis Dogs FC United?
Sporting. How about the St. Louis Sporting Dogs FC United?
I like sporting dogs.
And here come your stepdad. Awesome.
It wouldn't be that great.
The St. Louis Stepdads?
That's funny.
That would be awesome. I mean,
in context of the show, it's
yes,
funny.
It would be really funny for like a minor league baseball team where you could have something fun and you could have fun with that. But for a big professional major league soccer, it has to be a little more.
Well, you know, minor league baseball is professional. I don't know why
okay,
you would disparage
it,
especially since you played at Bradley.
First of all,
I haven't brought that up.
I'm
yet.
From like the minor league baseball town. Okay, Toledo Mud Hens are like the most popular merchandise.
Well, you don't consider
every
them.
Year because of Jamie Farr
right.
and.
Well,
Mash
you don't
going
consider
back.
Them to be professional.
My point is, when you're talking about major pro sports, you don't have gimmicky nicknames like the Sea Dogs and the Mud Hens and the Walleye,
the Blue Rocks,
the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. I think that works for minor league baseball. People want to buy the shirts and the hats and all that with
Rascals?
The cool
Rascals?
Rascals.
Good job.
And such.
Rascals?
Yeah.
How about the St. Louis Hounds?
I don't mind it.
I do like St. Louis Spaniels. I know a couple years back, yeah, Kat, there was like, what was it? It was some type of drop or something where Doug was saying, it's a Spaniel.
I don't know. We probably lost that one.
You remember
the
that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, it was
going
to be the Stallions.
I like that name.
I like the Clydesdales. It's solid. It ties to St. Louis. You could do wonders with your logo in terms of marketing. And then you would, of course, get a cut.
Clyde, the kicking horse on
would
the
you,
sideline?
Would you waive your rights for being the guy that came up with it?
No, I wouldn't.
You want
a
cut?
Yeah.
What percentage?
It's a Spaniel!
Was that from just now?
No, this is from we recycle every topic.
Let me.
This is probably
no, I know that's my whole point. My whole point is, can you play it again, please?
That kind of hurt.
It's a Spaniel.
My whole point was.
Who said that?
No, I Charlie was saying that mocking Doug because again, I don't remember anything that happens on this show, but I don't know 9 years worth of stupid content. I remember Doug one time saying it's a Spaniel, and I don't remember the context of it whatsoever.
No, I must have identified a dog.
You know, the funniest thing is that Plowsy is a loyal employee, and he does genuinely like the show, but he's also very honest. And he said, no, you guys just keep recycling the same thing over and over again. Tough but fair.
I'm pretty sure that was about a year ago today that that topic was probably discussed.
Yeah. Or it could have been yesterday.
Doug, do you remember anything about a spaniel?
No, I don't really. I don't.
It's a spaniel!
But that's what's great about this show and also not great is, for whatever reason, there's those trigger words. You hear them and you're like for example, I don't mean to bring it up, Doug, but like tuna fish. For the rest of my life, I'm sorry, but if I hear tuna fish, the first thing I'm going to think of is this show. And spaniel, I think of this show and something you said, but I can't remember at all why that conversation started.
No, I can't either. Probably don't need to spend any time thinking about it.
I'll have a tuna sandwich. And I think it's a great choice, yeah. But I can't help of thinking of tuna fish Vaughn. It just sounds funny to me. Not that you have more than your share of tuna fish
sandwich,
really, a normal amount, but that's the way the show is. Anything that's said can get piled on and become something that it wasn't intended to be. So now every time I get a tuna fish sandwich, I think of tuna fish Vaughn and I giggle to myself. I don't know why.
Remember, we're going to try, when that kind of got stale, pot pie, Vaughn, trying to get the wheels turned.
I haven't had a pot pie in 20 years.
That was the best email we've ever had. But look at the blips. Those are all the pot pies in the country.
A nice banquet pot pie.
I haven't had one in maybe 20 years.
You know, banquet pot pies are fantastic. And because
they're not bad.
Because earlier in the show, you spit out the hot cocoa
it's
for
too much
a bit.
Crust. It's probably, too much crust.
Yeah, but pot pie is one of those things where it is either magma hot or frozen cold. You can never get a perfect temperature.
Yeah.
When you bite into that first nice chunky piece
tears the
chicken,
skin right off the top of your mouth.
It burns your entire mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Banquet pot pies suck.
Hey, come on now.
Have you
what
had
do you like?
Marie Callender's.
I think we did banquet as a kid.
Marie Callender's are big. They're a meal.
They're a meal.
The little banquet things are like 99 cents. They're the size of a peanut butter cup.
To me, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm an elitist, maybe I'm seeing this all wrong, but you know you have a quality pot pie when there's crust on the bottom.
Yes.
If the bottom is just the tin, you know it's probably not even chicken meat in there. It might be squirrel meat.
I don't know that I've ever even seen one without a bottom crust.
Those banquet ones, those little ones, I had them as a kid. It's just the crust on top over this foil thing.
Oh, you got shortchanged.
Well, it's cheap. You got to have crust on the bottom.
That bottom crust. And then I like the beef, and then the sauce seeps into the bottom of the crust. That's the best.
Now you're talking, Iggy.
You ever make your own pot pie, Ziggy? You're a gourmet chef.
No, that's way too much trouble.
Is it?
But to think that Doug Vaughn, who is one of the nicest people that you'll ever meet, would somehow have such a fixation on pot pies that he would try to control the world's pot pies in an evil, diabolical way.
Oh, well, if I could do that, sure, that'd be nice.
The tuna was a front.
Can we bring that email back?
I'm going to try to find it with him. Baby tuna slippers and his tuna bone scepter.
You ever had a tuna pot pie?
No, and that sounds gross.
I've had a tuna casserole, though, on the numerous occasions.
That's gross.
Tuna casserole?
Yeah.
Not and nice. Also, just like noodles and some tuna in there is about all there is.
Maybe I like a tuna sandwich. That's as far as my fish goes. Like I love tacos, but I can't eat a fish taco. To me,
How about salmon? You like salmon?
No. I love a fish taco.
A lot of people do.
If you're on one of the coasts, if you're in San Diego or somewhere, you get that nice, what is it, tilapia usually?
Yeah.
I like a good fish taco.
Most people do.
I wouldn't buy it in
Why do you have to be
St.
on the
Louis?
Coast?
I don't know. I think when you're...
It's all frozen. It's frozen there. It's
no,
frozen here.
No. If you're near somewhere where you know they have good seafood, if you're in Seattle or San Francisco, I'm not going to necessarily buy a fish taco. But if you're in places where you know their specialty, or if it's crab in Maryland, you're going to kind of go to those.
You want to trick yourself into believing because you're near water that the fish you're eating is not frozen.
Okay.
And in many cases, you're right, but in some cases, you're not.
For example, a couple months back, we went to Vancouver and Seattle, and we go down to the Pike's Place Fish Market in Seattle, where you're seeing the fresh fish sitting there on the ice. I mean, we bought some fish. They wrapped it up.
Did you get a grouper?
We took back some salmon and we smoked it. I mean, that was fresh fish. You could literally see the freshness.
How do you see freshness?
Did it taste
because
that
so
much
ripe
better?
And chunky.
It did. Taste that
Absolutely.
Much better than a frozen fish that was allowed to thaw
yes.
and cooked, right?
Yes.
I think you're telling yourself that it
You're
does.
Telling me that a fish that was probably pulled out of of the ocean pretty, you know, not too long ago, and you're sitting there buying it from the market in Seattle. You're telling me that's not more fresh than what you get in St. Louis?
No, I'm sure it would be more fresh, but I'm saying I'm not sure you could taste the difference if they were both cooked correctly, if you could taste the difference
you
of
can.
One
yes,
that just
can.
Came out
yes,
and
can.
One that wasn't.
When I
yes,
go on
can.
One of my survival trips and I have to kill a beast to eat, I can taste the difference. Like if I'm eating a wildebeest, I can tell that it's not a frozen.
You like them, you like them fresh.
Yeah, and sometimes
because when you barbecue the big drumstick that you're going to get out of the wildebeest, it's going to taste so much better
yeah, right.
than if you went to
and
Schnucks it, and got
and
thawed
Charlie's
it out.
Right. In some cases, I'll put together a smoker right there in the wilderness, and I'll smoke the wildebeest so that way it keeps, and I can have the meal of wildebeest for several days throughout my survival experience.
It's like dual survivor. They do that. Yes.
Now we kill the wildebeest.
Now Charlie,
I did it with a spear.
Homemade spear. You made it.
Homemade
right.
spear. And what I had done is I tracked the wildebeest traffic, and then I set up sticks and brush in a way where I could funnel them to an area where I would be able to get them. It's a very elaborate thing you wouldn't understand because you're not a survivalist.
No.
Plowsy has something good here, I can tell.
No, we have found my favorite, at least, from I've been on the show, the tuna fish email. Charlie, if you'd like to hear it.
I think we should.
Well, ask Doug.
No, we don't care what Doug thinks.
I don't care.
Then it appeared. A room with computers, lights, and wires that resembled something from an NSA wet dream. See those blips? Said Dougie Tuna. That's... that's...
you haven't read it yet.
Everyone's
See
laughing.
Those blips? Said Dougie Tuna. That's every pot pie on the planet. The tuna... the tuna was just a front. The era of pot pies has arrived. Dougie Tuna had devised a most diabolical plot to hoard all the pot pies on the planet. Nothing would stop his want to. To be continued on the fan page. Yellowfin Cucky.
Wow.
It just wasn't that funny.
It was very funny.
Here's the thing.
Wasn't.
I chuckle hearing that now. And, like, I know sometimes we kind of do little fake bits, but, like, that was genuine laughter because in the moment, for those 2 days with the tuna thing, I know you were very mad about it, Doug.
I wasn't
but
mad about it.
I don't,
I just,
yes,
I don't
you were.
It doesn't
you
make any sense. Were. It's just not that funny.
No, it was funny. Kat, and I don't know, I'm not going to speak for Kat. I don't think I've ever laughed on this show more than those 2 days.
It was one of the best.
Talking
then,
about tuna fish.
Talking about you
because
and
it's
your
so
tuna
nonsensical.
Fish.
And then this, you parlay that into you tracking with elaborate radar where the pot pies are on the or around the globe. That's funny to me.
Well, it wasn't.
See
as,
those blips?
It wasn't as funny as Swopes a couple weeks ago where I've never laughed so hard in my life. I don't think Timmy laughed as hard. It was so good that it even made the cuts of the week. And I forgot now what the topic was.
Something so funny you've never laughed so hard, but you forgot what it was about.
Are you trying to get us to do picks of the week? I mean, to do
no,
cuts
I was,
of the week now?
No, that's coming up
just,
later.
I was just saying, do you remember what it was, Plowsy?
I do not. I just remember the tuna fish because Tim was out, and that's why it might have enhanced the control that you were out of control with that email. You couldn't even read
out
it.
Out of control? I mean, I'm reading a hilarious take by Cucky, and I'm genuinely laughing. Sea Monster.
So I was waiting for a Plowsy to pop me up. The email Iggy is referring to was by Misty Plops. It was the Vianney Dad's Calendar.
Oh, that's it.
And I'll see if I can dig that audio up too, boys.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Why do we keep
and
picking
I'll
on
laugh
Vianney?
Again. If you can find that Plowsy, I'll buy you a joint.
Oh, for you can't do drug transactions on the radio?
I said I would give him one.
See, this is what's nice about the show. Is that we're just pulling old emails. We're just like, let's just wait and we'll find them and then we'll just play.
I like it better, actually. I like less structure. But we do have some structure. The mini exit poll, we were supposed to do it at 9. We're about 20 minutes late. We have 3 questions as you get ready for your big weekend here in the Gateway City. No open, but it's brought to you by Lakeside Roofing. Number 1, who is the most compelling reality TV star of all time? And I think this one for me, it's got to be Trump, right? I
mean,
a guy who spun it into the presidency. I don't think you can beat that.
I didn't really like his show. I watched it a few times, and it just came off as people kind of being mean to each other and conniving. And I didn't really like him in it.
Kind of like his campaign.
It wasn't until he kind of left that, and I saw what wonderful political takes that he had,
sure,
that I became a fan.
I love that show.
I didn't really watch it, and it was nothing against the show.
I was a big fan.
I didn't really, for whatever reason, come across it much.
I think it's either Anna Nicole Smith or the Jersey Shore group.
I'm going to go back. It was on MTV. I don't even... Real Life or
Real
whatever.
World?
Real World. Puck.
Puck. The guy who did the boogers. He it's put, not Rockets.
Yeah, and Pedro, who is no longer with us, God rest his soul.
Pedro Zamora.
Said, Puck, did you pick your nose and put it in my peanut butter? And that has stayed with me for years. Puck was
that.
Such was so over-the-top jerk that... He stays with me as the most compelling.
Do you remember Ashley Feldman from that show? I think she was Real World New Orleans.
I only watched it one or two seasons and I got bored with it.
Yeah, it's the old 590 regime. I hired her to do an afternoon show.
That season though you're talking about with Puck and Pedro?
Yeah.
Do you remember Judd?
No.
I read an article, Judd Heathcote. Former coach
Judd
at
Nelson.
Michigan State. No, but from that season...
Judd for the Defense was a show starring Carl Betts as a lawyer.
Judd Apatow, by the way. But two people on that show are still married from that.
Really?
It was the San Francisco season. I believe it was the second season. Because the first season was Eric Nice, remember, from The Grind? The guy that was doing all like the dance shows on MTV?
I just kind of remember Puck, and I remember there was a guy with a spiky do who was performing in a band and stuck his tongue out, and then some guy went and tried to bite it off.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the same season. But the fact that there was community food in the refrigerator, people tried to respect boundaries, not eat the... And Puck would eat Pedro's peanut butter, not only with his fingers, but he would pick his nose and then
That's
stick
gross.
His finger in there.
Yeah. you have like a 3-inch hair coming out of your ear, and it's flapping in the breeze.
All right.
That's the right.
That was bad point guard work by me there with that
okay,
pregnant
it was
pause.
Flapping in the breeze.
We'll go to question number two. What is your favorite vacation destination?
Anywhere there's a beach for me. Florida, Southern California. I just need a beach.
I like LA because we got family there. There's a ton of fun things to do for young Tyler, and we love it there.
That's a good call. I think if you talk like Redondo, Hermosa Beach, so away from
they're
the
close,
big city,
yeah.
I'm saying you have kind of like
a, everything.
A good beach town where you don't have a ton of traffic, but it's very nice and a lot of outdoor people are out there on the boardwalk or the sidewalk, rollerblading, playing volleyball in the ocean. I think I'm going to agree with you on that one.
And a lot, you know, I have a lot of friends that are celebrities that want to have lunch and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Former Cardinal players.
Do you think there's many people around the country who say St. Louis is my favorite vacation?
No, I don't think there's any, Doug.
After the Rams went to London, though.
A lot of Londoners said, I've got to see that city.
Correct.
After losing here in this game 35-12.
I think it was 45-7.
Yeah. That's a city that I want to visit, they said in their London accent.
Yeah, the tourism boom there.
And just so you know, last time I was in L.A., Fred Travellina texted me and said, let's have lunch.
Really? To get him on the show. Obviously, I would say Hedo, Jamaica.
Of course.
Yeah, well, we did a whole segment on it the other
day. Yeah.
Almost a whole hour on it. But one of the reasons is because of the people you meet. If you guys go.
You like that heavyset guy from Bismarck.
No, actually, there's a guy down there who's a legend that I've met him a couple of times when I was there. His name's Hedo Rick. You want to hear from Hedo Rick? You want to hear why he's a legend?
You did an interview with him?
He was pushing this morning. Go ahead.
I was trying to get in.
Just play the clip that you want to play.
Somebody interviewed him, but
Hit
here it is.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Hey, what's going on? This is Terrence from BlackBeachWeek.com. And let me tell you, I got a very special guest this time. His name is Rick. And where are you from, Rick?
Arizona.
Arizona. He's been a member of Hedonism 2 for how many years again?
Since 1988.
How many times you say you've been here?
40 times.
40 times. What brings you to Hedonism that many times?
The wild women. The wild women. The ripping and the tearing. The ripping and the tearing.
Oh. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, my goodness. So what have you done this whole entire week?
There's no other place in this universe like Hedonism 2.
None. You hear that?
Then he starts dancing. But I just wanted to hear the ripping and the tearing, the ripping and the tearing.
I would recommend his watching the video for the dance moves. He's got kind of like a crab walk with one arm and then does like a sexual innuendo with the other hand.
Okay.
Glad we couldn't see that.
I'm just saying, if you want the video content, it's up on YouTube.
I've been trying to sneak that video in all day, so I did.
Hey, Over Under Bar and Grill is the place to watch all the games this season. They provide free shuttle to Blues, Cards, and SLU games, so you can make Over Under your destination for pre- and post-game trips. And I'm guessing, Doug, 4 or 5 years from now, they'll have the shuttle to the St. Louis Soccer Dogs ball game.
Yeah, sure. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they?
Over Under voted best sports bar in 2015 by the Post-Dispatch. It has 37 HD flat screens that carry every sports package, like NFL Sunday Ticket, NHL Center Ice, and MLB Extra Innings. They also have a 150-inch projection screen on their beautiful outdoor patio. On Saturday and Sunday during football season, they have some great specials on Miller Lite and Coors Light, Jameson and Fireball Shots, Tito's Vodka and Lemonade. Stop by the Over Under Bar and Grill at 911 Washington Avenue.
You didn't even finish the mini exit poll.
I know. We're just kind of you were jumping all around here.
You were binding it together.
I was binding it together. Did everybody give their favorite vacation destination? Also,
Plowsy did not.
Like Plowsy hasn't weighed in either. Plowsy?
Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio.
How about that?
What the hell is that?
It's fantastic amusement park.
I love that you said that.
No, it's seriously like the best.
That's
place.
Where they make the pencils, right? Sandusky, Ohio.
I'm not quite for sure. Charlie, I don't know if you've been there. I'm sure you're familiar with the.
That's where Orlando Pace is from.
Correct. The Sandusky Blue Streaks and the first roller coaster at Cedar Point back in the day was called the Blue Streak.
What about Sandusky Auto Parts?
From, you mean Callahan Auto Parts.
In
from,
Sandusky?
From Tommy Boy, yeah. A fake company, but still good.
That's your all-time favorite vacation destination.
Cedar Point's really
Sandusky, well, I can't say
Ohio.
Anywhere that I've never been, and I don't go on many vacations.
You've been to Florida?
Been to Florida. I've been to Arizona. That would be the place I'd like to live at when I'm retired, if I ever retire. Arizona, I think, is a great place.
Well, I guess
place.
When we were at spring training, you saw the ocean for the first time.
Yeah, so I don't vacation much, but Sandusky, Ohio, Cedar Point.
Good for you.
Fantastic amusement park.
That was the first time you saw the ocean?
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Can you get a giant turkey leg?
You know, I don't know, but it's there's so much to do. It's so vast, and I went there 10 or 15 years ago. I'm sure there's new rides, but there's resorts right on there with deals and tickets, and it's the full
Cedar
deal.
Point?
Yeah.
You have the water park, which I believe is called, what is it called? Something Lagoon. You can spend a whole day at the roller coaster park, and then you could spend another day at the...
Laguna Beach.
I believe it's called Blizzard Beach,
but
the water park. And you can go, you can spend $20, you know, shooting the basketball or throwing the ball to get like a stuffed animal that's worth a 40 cents.
Yeah.
Wait till you have a kid, Charlie. Then you'll find yourself spending $60, $70.
Or three of them. And then you find yourself spending $180.
And then if you can't put the ball in the hole or knock over the dummy, it's like, Dad stinks. So you're like, give me three more.
Or heaven forbid you win and you get like a life-size tiger that you're now holding as you walk through the amusement. What do we do with it now? What do we have to go all the way back to the car? Okay, I'll go all the way back to the car. And then you get it home. What do we do with it now? It sits in the bedroom for a while and then you throw the thing away.
But it was the challenge. It was a journey to get there.
And if you guys maybe were better athletes as fathers, you could score the bucket on the first shot. You could throw down the three milk jugs on the first toss, and you wouldn't have to waste all your money.
But you don't want the prizes. The prizes get to be an albatross around your neck.
Just take your kid to the fish pond. You pull one duck out, and whatever's on the bottom of the duck, you win.
Duck game is solid.
Yeah, but you get like a little
tiny thing.
They don't want like a little tiny thing. They want the...
Big prize.
Yeah.
Did you have that specific game that for whatever reason you were good at? I don't know why, but the game that I was always good at was the one where you take the bowling ball and you roll it over the hump, you know, and it has to come back and stay in the valley and not come back over. That was like the game I was good at.
I was good at the cakewalk.
What is that?
You just walk around the cake, so when the music stops, whatever cake you're in front of, you win.
Yeah, and you get a nice treat.
Good at the quarter toss. You had like jugs that were open to a certain amount. They usually put butter or something slippery on them so you can't make them, and you just kind of throw a bunch of quarters, and your prize is underneath that specific jug when you do make it. And
you won some prizes at one.
Yeah, because I'm good at frisbee golf, and it's kind of similar form.
I would think so.
I love frisbee golf.
For me, it's
love
not it. one game. It's one locale. Like for whatever reason, at the JHE annual company picnic, I win everything.
Sure.
I guess that's home court advantage.
Hey, final question. This is a great question. Maybe it would be better for next week, but I'm not going to sit here and critique
you
C
just
Monster.
Did.
Well, he's not listening.
He's not going to be here
emails.
Anyway.
True. What is the most delicious Thanksgiving food item? I will start, not even close, green bean casserole.
Oh, God.
Hot shots.
You are so wrong.
Oh, I wouldn't even
The correct
touch
answer
that.
Is mashed,
me wrong.
Mashed
me
potatoes wrong. And gravy. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Now, tell you what, if you ignore the percentage of the electorate that agrees with me, it's doomed for your campaign, no. Charlie.
Well, I'd say just the turkey. The turkey's the best part.
You turkey, put gravy turkey's in? Not, it's not moist, though.
But if it's cooked right, it's the best part by far.
Let me tell you.
That's what you don't usually get any other time of the year.
When else
big
do you
turkey?
Get... I disagree with that. When else do you get green bean casserole?
Well, never, because I would never put green
that
bean casserole
specific.
In my mouth.
It's specific to Thanksgiving.
There's no way that
and
I
that's
would
why
want
it's
that.
So good. It's a once-a-year treat.
I want nothing to do with that. It sounds hideous.
I want nothing to do with you.
Well, then you don't have to come over for
Doug,
Thanksgiving.
The key to getting a moist turkey, maybe Charlie is... Because I love the turkey. It's close, mashed potatoes first. But the key to a good turkey... is you got to cover that thing in foil to keep the juices in. And then here's another thing. You got to baste like it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
You got to baste again. That helps keeps the juices in, the moisture.
Okay. It's all about the baste.
That's why you deep fry it. We started deep frying ours. My niece's husband does it. And that thing is just I hate turkey. I don't eat turkey on Thanksgiving. But
what?
I
Thank
carve
you,
it.
Me either.
Who
yeah,
hates
I carve.
Turkey?
I hate turkey. I Why? Carve it, but I don't eat it.
You like chicken?
But it's nice on the nice and crispy on the outside, but the juices just flow out of it.
It's a dangerous endeavor. A lot of accidents with novices trying to fry their turkey.
Well, he's Jeremy is no novice. Jeremy is a great cook, and he stands there the whole time. He doesn't walk away and let it fry on its own. We drink a couple beers. We sit around the fryer and we talk. And we watch the turkey fry.
And I have to say, I'm a Charlie Lemming, so he's spot on. It's the green bean casserole.
Thank you.
Oh, it
but
isn't.
My family does a bacon-wrapped ham.
Ooh.
And it is absolutely phenomenal. We kind of got sick of the turkey, changing up the tradition, and it's phenomenal.
How do you know when you're frying a turkey and it's about to blow?
You check the temperature and all that. You got the thermometer.
Yes. What do you think? He just puts it in a big pot?
I don't know. I'm asking. How do you know when they blow up?
Every year you read a story about someone's house caught fire because they fried a turkey.
They don't know how to do it.
Sizzle right. like it's gonna blow.
They get the grease too hot. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
What happens.
And I'll bet it tastes great, but you don't know. You don't eat it.
I don't eat it. No.
Does it reduce cooking time?
Yeah, it does.
How long does it take to fry a big turkey?
I'm gonna guess. I think it took a couple hours, maybe.
Really, a couple hours.
It takes a while for the oil to get the right temperature. Once it does, I think it was a couple hours. And it's better because my sister-in-law is now does Thanksgiving, and the turkey either comes out raw or she forgets to take the bag of giblets out of the
core.
And or we just wait for the smoke detector to go off and then we know it's done.
Huh.
Doug, you know who cooks one hell of a turkey?
One of our sponsors,
Ryan
probably.
Kelly.
Oh. He does.
When you think of Thanksgiving, you think of Ryan Kelly.
Think about this. How can you have a great family Thanksgiving dinner without a big house to host the meal and the fellowship? You need the house. You get the mortgage from Ryan Kelly. Bada bing, bada
boom. Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big house. It could be just any little domicile, as long as you've got the mortgage on it.
Like a little hut.
It could be a hut, a nice Christmas hut that you've had to get a mortgage on because times are tough. But... Whether it's a small hut or a tar paper shack or a big mansion and you've got a mortgage and you'd like to save some money, Ryan Kelly's the guy you'd call. The holidays right around the corner. You might have already started your Christmas shopping. That time of year where the bills start piling up, and Ryan Kelly and the home loan expert can help you get through the holidays with a cash out refinance. That's what I would suggest. A nice cash-out refinance. What I just did here like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Don't run up credit card debt this year. Eliminate it. Refinance your mortgage with Ryan Kelly. It'll save you hundreds of dollars, perhaps a month, and tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. They've got 15-year loans now in the twos. How can you say no to that? It's in the twos. Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, work hard so you don't have to if you're looking to refinance or purchase a home. Why you want to go anywhere else for, man? I don't know why. So call Ryan. Here's the phone number. 314-781-9700. Here's the phone number, 314-781-9700. Or you can visit his website, thehomeloanexpert.com.
Well done. All right. Seamonster said we have a great batch of emails, so we have to give them some time. We also have the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. But first, this Plops email that Iggy alluded to earlier, we have to play back. Correct, Plowsy?
Guys, Plops here. It's time to start thinking about Christmas shopping. Look no further than the 2017 Vianney Dad's Wall Calendar. Hello, January. Meet Phil, our first model of 2017.
No.
He works for a printing company, drives a Kia Sportage, and can touch his tongue to his eyebrow. What's that? Spring has sprung? Meet Gary, the CPA, who has not one, but two secrets. Not only is he a closet Cubs fan, but Gary has his nipples pierced. Shh, don't tell Gary's son. Ooh la la, it's hot in here, fellas. Of course it is. It's now August, and Jared's stepdad, Miguel, and his neighbor's friend noticed that naughty tramp stamp. It's a tribal symbol that he thinks means strength, but actually means pansexual sausage daddy. Hola, Miguel. Guys, calendars are $14.99 for one, or $42.99 for two. Doug, the math on that doesn't sound
No, yeah,
that.
Just get one.
Get at me if you're going to get one before Christmas. Thanks. Misty Plops.
Plops here.
Outstanding.
See, I wasn't listening that morning, so I don't have the context.
I think it's more funny. Tim laughing, I think. Oh. I'm laughing again.
This is a stepdad calendar that he wanted to come up with? Is that
good idea. Gave birth to a new franchise, the St. Louis Stepdad.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say that could be the free giveaway to the first stepdad's game.
A stepdad calendar. Really? You would want one of those?
I'd take one.
You would.
Hola, Miguel.
Hey, Doug, I would like for you, please, to suspend Beef Momo, who once again ruined the text line for everyone with an even worse picture than I've ever seen before.
Beef Momo has been suspended with a bad picture, the worst one we've ever seen before.
That's a fact.
He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, even as we speak, is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension logule.
All right, let's do the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
Cut of the Week is brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL9. Cut one.
I've really never seen Bonnie Rotten because she's brunette.
That's correct.
You know what I mean? So I normally Pornhub blondes.
Right.
Lesbians.
Good.
Something about the men, like I'm into men in real life.
You just pointed at the plow hawk, I noticed.
Hey, he's a man. Rare.
Cut two.
I laugh so hard when like the producers or the guys that phone me now or call me the day before, hey, we're on it. It's like little Tim McKernan's. Little minions running around saying, thank you, sir. Our little presentation. Thank you. I just ow every week. I actually put them on speakerphone now sometimes with my wife and go, listen to this. This is great. I got little Tim McKernan calling me, but it's not him. It's hilarious. You really are. Now you have little minions that are emulating you guys.
Cut three.
What is the relationship between American Hoosier and American Hillbilly?
Fellow who might have come out of the hills. He once lived in the hills and he was looking for a better life. You can take the Hoosier out of the hills, but you can't take the hillbilly out of the Hoosier.
So you think the hillbilly evolved into Hoosier, American Hoosier? You think he just walked down from the mountain and just looked for flat land?
Probably. Yeah. He said, wait a minute, I don't have hooves. What am I doing living on a hill? I need to get down off this hill. I haven't got any hooves.
Cut four.
I don't know what just happened.
What the hell is sexy coffee?
Clip that off.
What is sexy coffee?
Go ahead and tell her.
It's a bleach bottle. What are you talking to me in here that's any good?
You got to hear that. Bonnie, you need to hear the explanation.
You got to tell Bonnie about sexy coffee.
You tell her. What do I effing care?
I invented sexy coffee. I invented her.
Cut five.
Iggy, what is the etiquette on boners there? Do I roll over and dig a hole out or just let my flag fly?
No.
Yeah, it happens if you haven't been to a nude beach and you see naked women, but if you've been to a nude beach, you don't really get an erection because it's not sexual. Just another naked person.
Yeah.
Now, I would suggest if you do get one, either go find a lawn chair and lay on your stomach or go in the water until it goes away.
No.
Or hang a towel off it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, a lot of good options.
Cut six.
Essie, thanks so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, someone on Twitter asked me to say free dotum.
Okay, knock it off.
You just got yourself suspended there, Essie. A period of 2 days' time.
Thank you, Essie.
All right, bye, guys.
See ya. How about that, Doug?
Cut seven.
And you are looking for hot sapphic play.
Oh, hot sapphic. sapphic digital everything type of play.
Wow.
Slow down. I have 5 shots of Fireball in me, and I'm going to get some more while Timberfake talks.
Wow. Well, there's
Tony Lee. Doug Vaughn.
Wow, clip that off as well. She loves Doug Vaughn.
When's it my turn to get on air? This is getting boring.
Oh my. Here we go.
Hey, I got pictures on my phone that are super freaking boring, too.
What does that mean, Doug? What does that mean?
I have no idea what.
Damn it, why?
What kind of a show are we running?
Quite a week.
Doesn't that make you look back and say, what the hell am I doing with my life?
You know what that's like if you ever trained a puppy, right? No. And the puppy messes in the house, you're supposed to like take the dog and put his like
nose right in it.
Yeah. That's what that is. That is rubbing our nose in the waste that we've left.
But we're still not potty trained after all these years.
You know, we don't have a ton of emails, even though Sea Monster said they're very good. We do have a couple minutes here. Should we play these last two audio clips? Kathy Bates and John Calipari.
What are they about? Plaza, give us some insight here.
So I think this was post-game with John Calipari. They had SI Kids. I didn't know they still did this. Had an SI Kids reporter ask about an incoming freshman on the Kentucky team, how he compares to other freshmen. And they kind of do a funny little back and forth.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's have a listen.
Here it is.
Every season you have outstanding recruits. How does Malik Monk stack up against other freshmen that you've had?
How do you think? What do you think?
He seems pretty good.
Okay. You think he's better than John Wall?
Maybe.
Yeah. Tell John Wall that. You think he's better than Anthony Davis?
No.
You think? Okay. You think he's better than Michael Kidd-Gilchrist?
Yes.
Ooh. What about Boogie?
No.
No. Okay. How about Eric Bledsoe?
Probably. Yeah.
Wow. You think so, huh? Jamal Murray?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
All right, not so
and they
great.
Go back and forth like that. I mean, the video does it justice. He's kind of playing along. It's a scrum full of reporters, and he kind of breaks up, you know, the usual drama-filled media room with just a nice SI Kid reporter asking.
I think Calipari was trying to make the kid look bad.
No,
throwing
I think,
players at him.
No, I think he just wanted to play a little funny back and forth. I thought it was harmless. I thought Calipari showed his nicer side.
John Calipari. How about Kathy Bates? Story about a dildo on an elevator.
No.
Well, it's on the clip list. Plowsy?
You can play it. It's on Seth Meyers' program.
Why don't you go ahead and play it?
Why don't
there,
you
buddy?
Play that on your 11 o'clock sports report?
This is
Many
your
years
show.
Ago when I was dating kind of a rough guy. And so we were on our way to Chicago, and there's one of those stores where you can get the, you know, the stuff.
Yeah.
And so we went to the hotel, and I had it in my pocketbook, and it went off.
Okay.
We were in the elevator. And there were like 3 or 4 of us, and then it was going, and it was new, so I didn't know how to turn it off.
Right.
So it was like, yeah, that was something. I didn't think you were going to hear that.
No,
tonight,
I was so much better. I'm wondering, like, if that happened, if I'm in the elevator, is my first thought, oh, no, there's technical difficulties on the elevator.
No.
And then it's like, oh,
it
no.
It was a dildo gone awry. Yeah. It really was.
I think what makes it hotter is that it's Kathy Bates.
Oh, yeah. Just thinking about her using it gives me tingles.
Mm.
I'm guessing it was a pocket rocket if it fit into the wallet.
No, she went on saying it was one of those rabbits.
Ooh.
Okay. Smaller version.
Yeah.
Doug, your thoughts.
I don't have any thoughts about that, really. I don't know. I don't have any thoughts about that, really.
You still have emails.
Okay.
Let's do the emails.
God, it's cold in here.
We'll give
the
emails.
Is anyone else cold in here? It's about 38 degrees in here.
I'm wearing a really heavy sweatshirt. I feel like it's always cold in here. You have to prepare.
Boy, it's cold in here.
It was really nice outside yesterday, though.
Yeah.
As we left the show about 10 o'clock, I mean, it was beautiful. Here we go. Howdy, Jug, Tim, and Ted. Thank goodness Charlie is there. Otherwise, the Sea Monster would have to fill time by booking somebody no one's ever heard of, like Todd Hoffman of Gold Rush.
How dare you?
The highest-rated show about gold in the Sunday 2 a.m. time slot.
It's on Fridays.
In Gold Rush Season 8, things really heat up. Hoffman runs into fellow prospector Yukon Cornelius from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who demonstrates his technique of haphazardly throwing his pickaxe into the air, then licking the end. That's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. How about the fact that Independence Day is coming back for a sequel? Is it already out? Is that over with?
I don't know.
I didn't see it.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
This email is to be read in an Irish soccer announcer style. Play ball, Charlie. Come on, guy. Jeez. Welcome to the inaugural St. Louis FC opening day football match between Real Estiel FC United and the Boy Dogs. What a beautiful day, mate. Matey. And here's the kickoff. Boy Dog Chucky Marmo touches a nice back heel over to his stopper, back El Gato Haystein. El Gato plays a wonderful through ball to a streaking Dougie Valnaldo. Valnaldo beats the sweeper back with a vintage croof and cracks a far bar bender as the crowd rises to their feet. Boo! Just missed! Oh, what's this? Valnaldo appears to be signaling for a drink. Oh no! Now he's grabbing a piping hot cup of hot cocoa! It's too hot, Valnaldo! Too late! He's burning himself! Oh, the humanity! Welcome to STL MLS. This is our town.
Stop. That's not a bad read.
Horrible accent. The changing station's own Cucky the Dwarf.
Cucky.
That's why I love Cucky.
He's the dwarf.
He's so creative. He's almost next level. You know what I'm saying?
You don't know which angle he's going to take. That was a good read, by the way.
An absolute firecracker.
I am pretty sure by tomorrow you will be offered the MLS job, depending on when they come. You've already got the job.
I'll take it. I will take it. Hey, boys, you were talking about big games this weekend. Well, half lion, half eagle, the Golden Griffins are flying into their first football semifinal since 1968,
really?
The year of the first father-son dance. Yeah, things have changed a bit since then. Fewer Coke bottle glasses and pleated khakis. But boy, howdy, like a Little Caesar's pizza, the dads are still hot and ready. Fire up Griffs. Go get them. The Dogtown. Astrovan.
Dogtown Astrovan.
This is a long one here. Guys, Plops here. This soccer stuff is exciting. I can only imagine how excited the 209 people who attend our own St. Louis Ambush professional soccer games, that's not nice, must be right now. I knew something must have finally happened on the professional soccer front last night when I was jogging through Soulard. I saw a thin gentleman come sprinting out of an apartment building, completely naked except for soccer spikes, screaming to the heavens in celebration. It was producer Joe. He was pouring champagne all over his naked body while yelling, "It's finally happening!" Seconds later, another thin, naked twink emerged. It was Darren. He made a naked run at producer Joe, and Joe lifted him up just like Patrick Swayze lifted Baby at the end of Dirty Dancing. It was quite beautiful. I high-fived the both of them, and then we all kissed for a few minutes before I made my way back to Oakville proper. It wasn't until hearing your show this morning that I even knew what we were celebrating. I was just happy to find two naked dudes dancing in the middle of Soulard. Hells to the yeah, boo. Riel Plops, Misty FC.
Riel Plops, Misty FC.
Morning, fellas. After doing some market research, and by research, I mean drinking a case of beer and watching cat videos, the preferred soccer team name is the St. Louis Dubs. The uniform will consist of an Oxford blue jersey, khaki-colored shorts, and black dress socks.
I don't mind that. That sounds pretty good.
The team will be known mostly for being very old, very boring, and bending over and taking it from the competition.
Okay, that's enough.
Hot shots.
Who was it, Chuck?
Thanks, the hipster of Tower Grove South.
Hipster of Tower Grove South has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His
Rack
name
em.
Will appear in the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule.
Good morning, gents. Michael Peterson here. After listening to your radio show for a week, I regret to inform you that I've decided it's just not for me. The thing is, I just don't get it. There's not really any kind of flow or structure. Also, I'm a godly man, as you know, and I just can't listen to a program where a young man constantly speaks of the devil's lettuce, and every other text is asking a happily married man to perform a homosexual act. Good luck with your little presentation, guys. God bless. Michael Peterson.
Oh, sorry, Michael.
Who's Michael Peterson?
Michael Peterson.
It's a fake,
it's a darn
legitimate
email.
Okay.
As like a normal guy.
Gotcha. Char-Char Marmo. The year is 2025. I take my son for his fifth birthday to a game to see his beloved St. Louis FC Real Dogs. For a special treat, I take him up to the Doug Vaughn Memorial Press Box to see Charles W. Marlowe, voice of the dogs. The tyke slowly enters the press box, and Charlie reaches out his hand to greet the birthday boy. Charlie takes the boy on his lap and says, "What do you think of the stadium?" "Go Dogs!" chants the boy with a puzzled look on his face. Boy asks, "Why are they named the Dogs?" Charlie replies, "Well, once there was an old queen named Doug Vaughn who sold his shares in a vast canned tuna empire and bought the soccer team. Here, only a year into the existence, Doug changed the name to the Dogs because he said FC Real was stupid." Unsatisfied by this answer, the boy's birthday was ruined. The end. Dave with cauliflower ear.
A wrestler?
I guess.
Dave with cauliflower ear.
Has he emailed before, Doug?
He's new.
I thought that email was really good through the first half.
And then it
just
gave
up. It didn't have that kick at the end.
Well, if you're in the office and they need you for your meeting or whatever.
Yeah, you just wrap it up. Yeah. No, I wouldn't type in anything. Yeah. No.
Good point.
Looking at some emails.
Morning sloppy slippers. Well, wow. How about that Doug Vaughn's hot cocoa video? Looks like Doug spits more than just hot takes, but only for the children, specifically the boys of the dungeon. Doug, I agree with your cocoa method. It needs to be heated just so, and you need to use milk. Big milk, hot milk. Ah, yes, milk. Guess that rules out Tony Lee from contributing. Milk too small. Plowpacker, I'll be in attendance at the Sunday night game this week, hoping the old green and gold can turn their season around against that team that shall not be named to fear or to offend anyone. If we win, I'll be sure to eat a tombstone pizza in your honor. Anyway, boys, I'm looking forward to venturing back home to the Mound City next week to give thanks for all the good Lord hath given. I'm looking forward to all Signature City staple, the T-Ravs, the Hoosiers, and those football teams. Yeah, those college teams are doing big things this year. I know the Twinks are excited about an MLS team coming to the Lou. In honor of the man that made this deal happen, how's about we title the team St. Louis Peacocks United FC? I'm thinking tie-dye design kits that'll get all the Hoosiers from the South Side to bulge in their jorts.
No.
Maybe one of our guys will eventually make it big as a kicker or puncher in the NFL. Ah, what a time that would be. Sing it with me, boys. I believe that we will win. Go STL Peacocks United FC. Barry Longwood.
Barry Longwood.
Two more. These are long. Hey, boys, I want to take the hatred for Kroenke to the next level. I want Stan Kroenke to contract. That's not very nice to say. A virus, a sexually transmitted disease. Yeah. And not like the... I'm not saying that. How about this, Kat? Read this and tell me if I should read it. I'm kind of on the fence.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I agree.
No.
Hey, guys, I managed to get my hands on one of those donation letters from Bradley that Chuck was talking about yesterday. In light of recent developments, it looks like they are looking to sell off the naming rights of the school to the highest bidder. I'll share with you a little poem they had in there. You can rename our school. You can use your name to brag. We've made a huge mistake and glorified a murderous old hag. She called her kids dirty. She called her kids smelly. Her axe had been sharpened by Thaddeus Bertarelli. So come one, come all, it's time to place bids, because a long, long time ago, our founder chopped up her kids.
No, she didn't.
Thanks, Matt, who bowls.
She didn't do that.
Hanks.
It's not bad.
He says, I already have tickets for tomorrow, so if this stupid thing happens to win, please give them to second place. How about that gesture?
What a nice guy.
Matt, who bowls, had Hanks.
Is that it, Charlie?
That is the lot of them.
Well, Seymour was right, because it is a good batch.
Pretty
and
good.
There were three that I put down there. I think I'm going hipster. Cucky was good.
Was
Plops
suspended.
Was good. I'm going to go with hipster.
He was suspended.
Well, it made me laugh the most.
Perhaps you didn't hear me say that he was suspended and his name is in the log. I'm going to go for a fellow by the name of Peterson. A fellow by the name of Michael Peterson.
I put...
sent in the best email
the guy
of all of them.
Doesn't want to listen to the show anymore.
Right.
I put three to the side. I thought Matt who bowled at Hanks was very good. But he says he doesn't even really want to win. He's already going. So I'm gonna put that in third place. Plowsy... Plowpacker, this leaves me to two. I thought Cucky was great. I thought the hipster of Tower Grove South was great.
He's got suspended.
I'm going to pick Cucky because I want to add some drama to this contest.
Now, this seems like a conflict.
I actually think Cucky's was the best.
This no, Michael Peterson
I liked
had
Cucky's.
A heck of a...
I think it did it more justice with your accent, but I am going to go and agree with Kat. It is the hipster.
Dagnabbit, Lucas. He was suspended.
That's why he wins.
It would be funny, though, because, again, we're talking about minor league baseball. You see sometimes how they have weird jerseys that are tie-dye or,
You know, or specialty things.
Specialty things like, you know, you have camo here and there, and even the Padres do that. But you've seen denim shirts and weird days like that. It would be funny if a minor league soccer team did the Doug Vaughn, like a jersey, but it's looked like a blue Oxford, yeah, and some nice khaki shorts that, yeah, were actually Umbros.
Right. With black socks.
Correct.
That'd be hilarious.
And black spikes.
And you know what? I bet they'd go out there and they'd be buoyed by wearing the Doug Vaughn garb, and they would win their match.
They'd play with a lot of want to, yeah, I guarantee you that.
I agree.
Hey, before we get out here, can I mention something?
Sure.
Tomorrow, if you have nothing to do, come on out to St. Charles Lane, 7th annual Megan Meyer Foundation Gobble Bowl. Bowling is sold out, but there's going to be over 130 raffle items, probably close to worth $19,000. So come out, buy some raffle tickets, hang out, eat, drink. A lot of the fan pagers will be out there, and help us raise some money. 1 o'clock, St. Charles Lanes.
Very cool.
How long will it go? 1 till when?
Till probably 5.
1 till 5.
Got to bowl 3 games, and then 6 teams got to bowl a 4th game for the coveted Gobble Bowl trophy.
You going, Doug?
No, I've got a date with Lady Journalism.
I got to work, too, or else I would stop by.
Blues?
Yeah.
So that's the weekend plans? I'm just going to do some yard work, I think. Some leaves?
Yeah, go ahead. Stay in the yard, Charlie. Don't come out.
I may come out.
What do you
have against bowling?
I have nothing against bowling.
Or Megan Meyer.
I love Megan Meyer.
Or me.
Or Iggy.
Why don't you go on support?
I said I might.
It doesn't seem like you're going. Seems like you'd rather rake leaves.
I have a leaf blower now.
What do? You blow them into a big pile?
Luckily.
In the other people's yard?
No, luckily, kind of this fence in the back of our yard, there's like a big, kind of just wooded area that is down a hill, and it's just a bunch of brush, and nobody sees it anyway. So it's the perfect spot to just blow or rake all the leaves back there and just let them sit and let nature take its course.
They'll decompose naturally.
Correct.
Huh, so you don't have to bag them or anything.
I was bagging them for a while, and our neighborhood every Friday, they pick up yard waste. And I was doing like 1 or 2 garbage cans every Friday. But, I mean, that's like every day. You have to do that almost.
Well, this time of year, I kind of wait for like the big fall. Like, if I did that every day, I'd have to re-rake. So
yeah,
there's a pickup in like a week. I'm waiting for that one, even though they've already had a few, and then I'll rake once the tree has fewer leaves on it. But right now, it's just dumping every day.
The house I lived in before,
it'll ruin your grass.
I had enormous oak trees, maybe 10 of them, and I'd have acorns on the ground. You could hardly walk without stepping on a 15 acorns.
You hate leaves
that were, you know, up to my knee. It was just an enormous ordeal. I wanted to move just because of that. It was 2 months or so of just enormous ordeal.
You don't want any trees around you.
Little trees are fine. Little trees.
So the moral of the story is,
get a big oak tree for your front yard.
Instead of helping raise money for charity, you'd rather blow some leaves.
Seems like that's what he was saying.
It's not an either or.
I'm just kidding you, Charlie. You know that.
I may come out there.
That's a no. Don't even say it.
You don't know that.
I could tell by your eyes. That's why I want to play poker with you.
Oh, stop. I did 1 hour of community service already this week.
Okay, good for you.
I'm looking in your eyes. Read some books to some kids.
And I know you're not going to Iggy's.
You don't know
event.
That.
I do by looking no, you into don't. Your eyes.
You don't know that. Are you going?
I just told you I got to work.
The game's at night.
Yeah.
The Blues play at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
The Gobble Bowl starts at what time? Iggy 1? Seems like you could get there and leave and have plenty of time to say, hey, they're playing the Predators.
Well, you can't just show up right before the game. I do have family responsibilities before.
But you're not showing up at 1 o'clock, so I'm going to read your eyes, too. Don't lie to me.
No, I cannot. If my calendar was free, then I would think about going
just,
there.
You know I'm just kidding both of you.
Either way, it's a great event.
Go ahead, call me.
Come out if you can. If you can't, that's fine.
I got pocket jacks. Go ahead and call me.
I hate pocket jacks. That's a losing hand. Pocket jacks. I would fold that immediately. You're going to lose your stack, buddy. All right. Good show. Good week. Fun times. I'll be back Monday and Tuesday, I think. And we'll have some fun for the final shows before our Thanksgiving fellowship holiday with friends and family. Thanks to Plowsy and Iggy and Sea Monster and Doug and the Cat. I'm Charlie filling in for Tim. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio. And I always forget that Frank Cusimano's show, The Press Box, is coming up next, brought to you by Lion's Choice. Head on over to any of your neighborhood Lion's Choice locations and ask your server for more details on the new gluten-free bun. See you soon, STL. That's Lion's Choice. And we'll see you soon, STL, on the radio on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and InsideSTL.com.